what they want. What Hamas is asking right now is for exactly what was agreed at the end of the 2012, November 2012 Pillar of Defense actions, and that is that they're fishermen, their fishers can go out to sea 10 miles and get some real fish, that their farmers can farm the buffer zone that Israel created by destroying the buildings next to the border in Gaza. They're not even asking for the buildings to be rebuilt. They just want their farmers to have access to that land. And they, and so forth. There are all of these very reasonable conditions are things that Israel is not ready to accept. So nothing will change as a result of these ceasefires. And I don't blame when you put human beings in a cage and take away their means of livelihood. Well, of course they're going to try to break out in some way.
Indeed. Now, as Israel continues to bombard the Gaza Strip, even right now we are seeing the pounding of the Strip take place. We also got reports of the Israeli army admitting that it fired mortar rounds into a UN-run school in Gaza where Palestinians had sought refuge. Now, the Israeli army spokesperson has said that the school was empty at the time. Let me ask our correspondent, Hisham Mahanna, who's standing by in Gaza. Hisham, the Israelis claimed the school was empty when they fired mortars at it, but that wasn't the reality on the ground now, was it?
The reality on the ground is that more than 400,000 people in Gaza fled from their homes, having no shelter but those schools. Those schools were the very schools that were targeted days after the offensive has started, which means that these people were targeted inside those shelters, which belong to the UNRWA. This is the reality. This is what really happened.
Indeed. Mr. Larudi, right now we're seeing at least 200,000 refugees, internally displaced people, if you want to call them, within Gaza, who are taking refuge in schools, in UN-run buildings, even in hospitals. But when even these places are legitimate targets, according to Israel, this does mean that the Israeli army is purposefully and determinedly going and attacking these civilian areas, and the goal is to eradicate this population.
Yes, I think that is, in fact, the ultimate goal, and this is a step towards it. Let's face it, what Israel has done in Gaza is to create a situation where it's impossible for people to live. And I think that part of this operation is to make it even less possible for them to live, besides directly killing large numbers of them. It may, I suspect, and I don't know yet if that's the case, we'll have to wait and see, but I think there's a possibility that they're in effect widening the buffer zone by flattening areas like Shaja'iya and Beit Hanun and others, in order to create a wider buffer zone and to enclose the 1.8 million people, Palestinians in Gaza, to a smaller and smaller area with fewer and fewer resources, and to make their lives miserable and ultimately to end them. They want this space. They want Gaza. Netanyahu has said in the past that he opposed the evacuation of the colonies, the Israeli colonies in Gaza, and he wants that land. In fact, he wants a lot more. He probably wants the Sinai and the East Bank of the Jordan and South Lebanon and all of these places. But he has more control over Gaza, and so he can make things miserable and try to expel or kill them. And I think that's part of this process.
Indeed, let's not forget that Netanyahu's main voter base are those illegal settlers who live on occupied Palestinian land. Now we do know that the Palestinian Justice Minister and the Gaza Court prosecutor are taking Israel to the ICC. They have partnered with a France-based lawyer to see if to file a lawsuit against Israel for crimes against humanity and, of course, war crimes. Tell us a bit more about that.
The Palestinian Authority has the power now within the UN to pursue these legal options to try to get a judgment against Israel. Frankly, I follow these things, but I wonder what the significance is, because it's not as if Israel abides by any kind of international law, and they don't care anything for the International Court of Justice or the World Court and the International Criminal Court. And it's a good thing to have in law a judgment against Israel, but frankly, it has to be translated into action on the ground. And action is only possible through, in the United Nations, through the Security Council, where the U.S.
Indeed, let me ask our correspondent, Nell Burden, who's standing by in Ramallah, if she has more information on it. Nell.
Well, absolutely. There are some top Palestinian officials who are accusing Israel now of war crimes, and they're going through the process of taking them to the International Criminal Court, which, of course, is long overdue. So we're still waiting to hear about the particular protest, but they will file a complaint at The Hague. Now, actually, Palestinians have been pressing the Palestinian Authority for many years to do this. I mean, the settlements are expanding at such a rapid rate that it's very difficult to see a hill inside the West Bank without a settlement placed on there. These are entire cities now taking over the West Bank. So, you know, Palestinians are holding little hope, actually, that unless somebody actually takes action against Israel at the International Criminal Court, where they can be tried for, I mean, this is just one of many crimes. Of course, it's the continuous killing in Gaza and also the West Bank, particularly of young teenage boys. One case was in outside of a prison very recently, where he was an unarmed boy and he was shot directly and killed. Now, and of course, the lack of freedom of movement of Palestinians. The International Criminal Court, at the beginning of, at the time when they began to build the Israeli wall, they actually said that this is illegal under international and humanitarian law, yet this law was never implemented on the ground. So we're hoping to see some form of movement where, you know, if they do hold a case and they do try them, that we'll see this reflected on the ground. But people are still holding very little hope, because we've been back and forth to the United Nations, we've been back and forth to every diplomatic table, yet nobody is implementing this, because Israel has absolute impunity due to their relations, essentially, with the U.S.
Right. Mr. Larudi, before we wrap this up, of course, we did have a U.S. State Department spokesperson say, Department of Defense person say that what Israel's basically approach towards Hamas and resistance in Palestine is flawed, that if Hamas is annihilated, in the possibility that it is, something much worse will be created for Israel to have to deal with. How do you interpret that?
These are all nice words, and it's for public consumption. It doesn't translate into anything practical on the ground. Let's take, for example, the ceasefire that just took.
It seems we're having some technical difficulties there with Mr. Larudi. We'll try and get him back up for you, but let me cross over to Hisham Mahanna. Hisham, how are these words being taken in the Gaza Strip?
Well, if there is actually ICCs for the Israeli leaders, especially in the military, that would be not good for the Palestinian people, as it wouldn't actually bring those who were killed or injured or lost their homes. If this happens, this would actually doesn't change that fact. But if there has been no international criminal courts for those who committed this massacre, these people's lives would just have gone for nothing, and this shouldn't happen. The international pressure and the uprisings of the whole world in the last years, calling by the Arab Spring, we're standing for a better world, a world of freedom and ending of any kind of oppression. The Palestinian people in Gaza Strip, in the West Bank, and the East Jerusalem have always been under such oppression by the Israeli military, by the Israeli government, by the Israeli system. So if there is actually international court, criminal courts for the Israeli military leaders in particular, it would bring a better prospects for ending such oppression in the entire world, not just in the Middle East.
Okay.
This is how the Gazans and the Palestinians in general are looking for this.
Okay, our correspondent Hisham Mahanna, they're standing by in the Gaza Strip, joining us via Skype from Ramallah, who's our correspondent in Alberta, and of course from Berkeley, Paul Lurudi, the co-founder of the Free Palestine Movement. Mr. Lurudi, thank you very much for your input here on Press TV, and of course your correspondents were standing by live with the very latest from the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. We're going to take a short break here on Press TV. We'll be back with the very latest coming out of Gaza as Israel continues to bombard the coastal enclave. Don't go away.